morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 9. Sattvam viratsva sambhumam.
Sattvam viratsva sambhumam.
Tamasa lupta karmanam. Arabradayayadristya. Apanam ahasikshitum.
Translation.
The demigods prayed to Brahma, "Please look upon us mercifully, for we have fallen into a miserable condition because of the darkness. All our work has been suspended." Translation, please repeat. The demigods prayed to Brahma.
The demigods prayed to Brahma.
Please look upon us mercifully.
Please look upon us mercifully.
For we have fallen into a miserable condition.
For we have fallen into a miserable condition.
Because of the darkness.
Because of the darkness.
All our work has been suspended.
All our work has been suspended.
Purport. Because of complete darkness throughout the universe, the regular activities and engagements of all the different planets were suspended. In the north and south poles of this planet, there are sometimes no divisions of day and night. Similarly, when the sunlight does not approach the different planets within the universe, there is no distinction between day and night. Sattvam vidatsva sambhumam tamasa lupta karmanam arabhradaya drishya panam ahashikshitum. Demigods prayed to Brahma, "Please look upon us mercifully, for we have fallen into a miserable condition. Because of the darkness, all our work has been suspended." But the demigods, continuing to pray to Lord Brahma because of the precarious position and condition within the universe. Now, Prabhupada explains that when there are troubles, generally the atheistic class, the very materialistic class, they try to come to the solution amongst themselves. But really, because they are very conditioned souls, they will never come to a good solution. But the difference between the materialistic persons and the demigods is that when there's trouble, they at least approach the higher authority. They approach the higher authority. They are approaching Lord Brahma. Of course, this is not considered unalloyed devotion. Unalloyed devotion is when, for there is no reason, just out of love and affection, you are doing something for someone else. So that is the topmost. If someone is approaching you and worshipping you or showing you great respect, but then wants something, that is not considered to be the highest. It's like someone may come to you, "I am your friend, you are so nice, you are so good, can you give me some money? I need some money for my house." So is that so good? He's showing affection. He is showing a camaraderie, friendship, but he is wanting something. So that is, of course, he approaches his friend. Better that than running and robbing the bank. Robbing the bank is criminal activity. At least you're approaching the friend or you're approaching the relative or something like that. So it is good that you're like that, but better if you just have love and affection, just like Aslisyava Padaratam Penashkamam Madashanam, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I do not, I am your eternal servant, whether you make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, and so on. So, Lord Chaitanya, he gave the position of the topmost. But nevertheless, the demigods, they had sukriti, piety, religiosity, and intelligence to understand that this was a very dangerous situation that they themselves could not solve. The darkness, here very interestingly, the darkness had spread all over the universe. Darkness, like literally speaking, not metaphorically speaking, literally speaking, and that's why Prabhupada here in his purport, he gives the examples of the North and South Poles. Now any of you, someone may have been to the South Pole or the North Pole or something like that, but some of you, mostly you haven't been to the South Pole or North Pole, but maybe some of you have been to the countries very far north. I remember one time I was in Sweden, it was the summertime, and it was light all the time practically. At 11:30 at night, it started to go dark. And then by 1:30 again, it started to come light. And I was in Stockholm. Now they were telling me that, the devotees were telling me, when you go further north in Sweden, when Sweden goes right up, if you ever look at the map, it goes right north, said there's actually, it just stays light. And that goes for 6 months of the year. But then on the other side, when the sun is in the south, then it's 6 months dark. They don't, practically, it's just like, there's some light comes, but it's just like a twilight. It's not real light when in the far north. So someone living in the Greenland or the Iceland or something like that, where the very north, or if you go very south, as Prabhupada says here, there are no divisions between the day and the night. So it can be always daytime, or it can be always nighttime. So, of course, always daytime is not so bad because there's the sun, and we know that with the sun actually on the skin has chemical effect to make you feel a lot better and everything like that. I don't know the technical, the medical explanation of it, but someone explained like that to me one time. So the sun has good effect on your body. Isn't it serotonin or something like that creates... And then it makes the mind, the brain, feel good.
Vitamin D.
So then the brain, then you get good health from, of course, too much sun is another thing. But a nice amount. But then in dark, always dark, that's not so good. And in fact, you quite often read, and the devotees were telling me, when it's dark, the people become very depressed. They become very depressed. And actually, the suicide rate goes up. Suicide. People become so depressed. Always dark. Always dark. Imagine living always dark. Always dark. And the Prabhupada gives the example, just like the North and the South Poles. If it's the dark time of the year, it's always dark. And so, in this situation, this is on Earth planet. Now, this situation was spreading throughout the universe. The darkness. It was dark. So the natural functioning of the planetary systems, the prescribed duties as mentioned here, karmanam, prescribed activities, prescribed duties in the different planets, they could not go on. Practically everything was suspended. The darkness spread. The darkness. And this was due. Now, of course, they had some idea about the... what was the cause, but then they went to Lord Brahma, and then we'll read now in the next few verses, he explains the reason for this, the very powerful asuric entities are now within the womb of Diti. And from their power, somehow or other, by their power, somehow the darkness was spread. Everywhere, actually, literally darkness. And so Lord Brahma told the history, he begins to tell the history of the situation, because knowing something is better than ignorance. Because, you know, you may be in anxiety, you don't know. That's like, now we have light in this room, in the nighttime, we can see, we know what's going on. If we turn off the light, it's completely dark, you don't know, you hear a sound, or you're afraid, what is that sound? So being in the light, being in knowledge, so Lord Brahma was beginning to explain. And so the devas, they were very reverential to Lord Brahma. They were very surrendered to Lord Brahma, and they said, please look upon us mercifully. Please look upon us mercifully. This is a proper mood for someone to approach a very elevated personality, in a very humble mood. Just like Prabhupada explains in his purport to Tadvidi Pranipatena Parish Prashnena. If one wants to understand the truth, you approach the Guru. Render service unto him submissively. Hear from him. So one has to be in the proper mood to get the mercy, get the blessings. Iram tena tapaskaya na bhakta kara. Krishna tells Arjuna, I am telling or giving you all this knowledge because you are my bhakta. I don't give to someone who is not devotee, someone who is not engaged in tapasya. Iram tena tapaskaya na bhakta kara. Na chashrutra saveyacham na chamyam vyabhishuvit. And someone who is very envious. Just like, for example, you're having relationships, but someone is very envious to you. Someone is jealous to you. Are you going to speak with them so much? They're always envious. Whatever you say, they take, they twist it, they make up. So therefore, naturally, you're not going to associate so closely with them. You're not going to reveal confidential matters to them. Who knows what they're going to do with that? Who knows what they're going to say? So therefore, you keep a little aloof. You don't. No, Krishna also says the same thing. He says, I don't reveal myself to such envious persons. Those who are not devotees. Those not engaged in tapasya, vairagya. I don't reveal myself. They have no access. But you are my devotee, Krishna says. You are my bhakta. Therefore, and you are not envious. Therefore, I am revealing to you more and more. So this is the way to get the mercy. This is the way. Humble. Render service submissively. It's like in when you go to school, if you go to college, when you go, you know, you have to be a little, you have to be respectful to the lecturer, to the teacher. You know, not challenging. Of course, you can't blindly. blindly you can't follow, but not, you know, the lecturer is giving the class and then he's asking the questions. Yes, yes, but I already know these things. Actually, what you said is not so good, but this is actually better. So what type of student is that? Do you think you'll last very long? You know already, so go out. You come to learn. So even ordinarily speaking, when someone's a student in the school or any institution, they have to have a mood of respect and gratitude because you know you need to hear. You yourself don't know. Even if you get the books, it's like if you go into the university, I just give you the books. All right, here are the books. Come back at the end of the year, do your exam. Will you be very confident? So books, even books. You need someone to explain the books. Just like sometimes you buy some new machine or something like that, you get the instruction manual, something goes wrong, oh, you look, try this. You have to ring up the expert to explain the book. Because even you had the book, you didn't understand. You couldn't even make it work. Maybe you made it worse. Isn't it? How many times have we all done like that? I'll just follow the manual, boom, boom, blow up. Make up some story. Oh, just by itself it blew up. I don't know how it happened. So like that, even ordinarily speaking. So too spiritually, we approach the expert. He is the guru. He is the acharya. So they are approaching their acharya. They are very humble. And please be merciful to us. We have fallen into a miserable condition. So they are admitting their situation. So I want us to also be like that. Can't be puffed up, proud. Has to be actually understand the reality of this situation. Prabhupada would be always respectful in front of his Guru Maharaj. When it was the Vyasa Puja of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he would say, bring one picture painting of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, we put on the Vyasa San, and he would sit down. And one time I was just reading in a diary of Jamuna Devi Dasi, she was saying that someone was glorifying Prabhupada. And he was saying that, Prabhupada, when we see your picture, and when we see the picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, you know, you're sitting at the desk, you're looking up, and sometimes we have the picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he's sitting at the desk, he's looking up. You're looking very much in the transcendental position, both you and your guru. And Prabhupada, he answered very humbly, yes, but he is the gold and I am the iron. He answered like that. He is the gold and I am the iron. You see, one has to always be humble. Even Prabhupada had so many disciples, still very humble in front of his guru, he sat down. So it doesn't matter. Generally, we become very puffed up by our education, by our money, by even our own looks, by our big family or something like that. Become very puffed up. But in front of the guru, in front of the senior people, we sit down. Don't be puffed up. Be humble. You may be most educated, maybe I may have most money. But in front of the scene, I was mentioning the other morning, that Lord Brahma, when he created the Kumaras, he asked them to help populate the universe. They said, no, we want to remain the Brahmachari. So he became a bit frustrated, because he had his service, and he was the father, they weren't obeying, but they were doing for the higher cause. So he didn't manifest his frustration, his anger actually. And Prabhupada explained that Lord Brahma, he knew the Kumaras were very advanced. So he thought not very good to show my anger in front of them. They are very advanced. So it is said that one can be advanced not just by age. There are different categories of how one is advanced. By knowledge is one. By tapasya, by birth. And can be by age, but not just by age. So if one is advanced in all these areas, they're senior, they're accepted, they're senior. They can be the youngest. The Kumaras kept themselves as young brahmacharis, they look like 5 years old, but everyone knew they were very advanced. They were the firstborn and they are naishtika brahmacharis, naishtika from the whole life. But they are very advanced in tapasya, they are very advanced in knowledge. So one has to have the proper mood, and we see here that the demigods have the please be merciful, they offer prayers, and please be merciful to us. So then Lord Brahma is very satisfied with them. Very satisfied. If someone is puffed up, arrogant, offensive, sometimes we saw, I mean not often, but every now and again, sometimes even Prabhupada disciples would become a little offensive to Prabhupada. And I remember one conversation that was going back. So in the end, Prabhupada said, do what you like. If you don't want to follow, do what you like. Who is stopping you? You want to do like, who is stopping you? Go. No further interaction. Just go. Do what you like. That's what he said. So therefore, if you want to gain that mercy, if you want, therefore you have to have the right attitude. And so Lord Brahma was very pleased, very satisfied with it, and he began to explain everything very nicely. Actually, it's a very wonderful description. He told the story of how these entities are now, who are in the womb of Diti, they were formerly in the spiritual sky, and he says, he gives very nice description of the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha Loka. The Vaikuntha Loka. Very wonderful. Just like we learn in this world, the earth and then the higher planetary systems, and as you go higher, it's so wonderful. But then you go beyond this world, You can go to the Vaikuntha. And beyond Vaikuntha, there is the place of Ayodhya, of Lord Ram, of Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman, they living there eternally. Beyond is the Golok, and then there is Mathura, Vrindavan, all these. One, Krishna is there. And just like Lord Brahma, he composed the Brahma Samhita and gives good description of the Krishna Loka and Lord Krishna, how he has such wonderful qualities. Krishna has qualities even above his expansions of Lord Narayan. It is said that he's Rupa Madhurya. Now, the description of the Vaikuntha, of the Lord in Vaikuntha, given here by Lord Brahma, and also of the Lord in Vaikuntha, very wonderful. He said that actually the liberated souls in Vaikuntha, they are self-effulgent. They, many have the same form as Lord Narayan, meaning the four-handed form. Many look like the Lord. Actually, sometimes hard to distinguish who is the Lord and who is the devotee, because they look the same. But of course, the Lord has a very distinct features that one who knows, oh, this is the Supreme Lord. He is that. But so wonderful. But Krishna has, his form, Rupa Madhurya, is very super excellent. He is so beautiful. It is said that every part of the form of the Supreme Lord is the ultimate perfection. In total and even individually. If you take the eyes, the shank eyes, the Lord has very beautiful eyes that go right round almost to his ears. Like this. They call the shank eyes. Very beautiful. So even the eyes, just if you just look at the eye, very beautiful. The nose is very beautiful. The ears are very beautiful. His lotus face, his teeth, his hair, his arms, his hands, his fingernails, his chest, every aspect is very, very super excellent, beautiful. So someone in the world may have beauty. A man may be very handsome. A woman may be very beautiful. Oh, he looks very handsome. She looks very beautiful. Yes, I don't know about that nose, though. You know, that nose. She's very beautiful, but she's got a big nose. No one can be totally perfect in every feature. But Krishna, totally perfect. So Rupa Madhurya. And then, of course, Leela Madhurya, he has unparalleled pastimes. Yeah, we have the incarnations, a wonderful pastime. Matsya avatar, Kurma avatar, Varaha avatar, Vamana avatar. They perform some wonderful pastimes. But they're one or two or three or something like that. Nisringa avatar. Wonderful pastimes. Then we come to Lord Ram, oh, so many pastimes. Then we come to Krishna. Unparalleled, especially childhood pastimes, just like a month of Damodar. It's especially the childhood, Rasalila pastimes, childhood pastimes. Therefore, Krishna is known as Leela Purushottam, the topmost of the Leela. He is the original form of the Lord, Shyamasundar, who is engaging in unlimited pastimes. He is so merciful. Just like the Kartik month, a so wonderful opportunity to offer the lamp. Anyone who offers the lamp in the Skanda Purana, then all the sins ones have committed for thousands and millions of lives just go away, just like in the blink of the eye. In the blink of the eye, if one offers the lamp in the Kartik, Krishna is so merciful. He's so happy that you are doing. There's one story of the one mouse. One mouse is a very famous story. One mouse was living in the Didi room. And the mouse, after everyone offered the lamp, the mouse would come and eat the ghee. Eat the ghee from the lamps. So every day the mouse was eating. But one time he was feeling, oh, actually it was a she-mouse. she was feeling extra hungry. So one lamp was there, but still burning, but the mouse couldn't wait. So it started to eat. But as it was eating, the whiskers on the, caught fire also. So the mouse was in great pain, jumping up and down, jumping up and down, jumping up and down in front of the deity. Jumping up and down, jumping up and down. So the deities, Radha Krishna, the mouse, she is dancing for us. She's dancing. But that mouse, oh, it was so burning, burning, that mouse died. But Krishna's so kind, oh, died, but go back home, back to Godhead. Just for dancing in this month, Kartik. Such is the benefit of worshipping the Lord in this country. So Krishna, Leela Purushottama, and of course Venu Madhurya playing his flute, the miraculous effect of Krishna's playing, just by his, he has so many melodies, so many different types of Murali and Vamsi and Venu, you know, different sizes, made of wood, made of marble, made of gold, and jewels, many different flutes Krishna has. And so he plays wonderful melodies. First melody, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they're doing the meditation, they become stunned. Second melody, the river Jamuna is flowing, starts shivering, starts flowing backwards. And the third melody, when Krishna plays the third melody, the moon is moving, also shivers, just stunned, stays in one spot, can't move. Fourth melody, all the cows and all the birds and all the animals of Vrindavan, they come running to Krishna. Fifth melody, all the gopis, that melody is reserved for them, they come running. And sixth melody, that he brings autumn season. Autumn season, very nice season. Seventh melody, he brings all the seasons, he makes like seasons dance. He makes a nice effect. And then of course the eighth melody is for special person. When he plays the eighth melody. Who's that for? Srimati Radhara. She comes when he plays that melody. And then she's also very good on flute. So sometimes they play together, have a duet. And very good dancing. Actually, Radharani is so good dancing. It's said that Srimati Radharani, this is Kartik, she's the goddess of this month. And she is so good at everything. She is so expert. She is especially, Prabhupada once told us that she's very expert at cooking. That's why Mother Jasoda always asked her to come and cook for Krishna, because she is so good that she never makes the same preparation twice. And she's cooking eternally for Krishna. And she never makes the same preparation twice. But better than her cooking is her dancing. Because she is so good dancing that even Krishna has to stop his dancing and just looking very stunned. So very wonderful. Venu Madhurya, this is the effect of the... And then, of course, the Prema Madhurya, the love of Krishna for his devotees. He is love and affection, and he reciprocates very wonderfully. So Lord Brahma tells of the Lord expanded as Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, and how the story of Jaya and Vijaya. All you devotees have heard of the story of Jaya and Vijaya. They were the gatekeepers of the seventh gate. And so when the Kumaras went there one time, they passed through all the gates, but they were stopped by the Jaya and Vijaya at the seventh gate. So they became very upset. Why we weren't stopped before at the other gates, but now you're stopping us at this gate? Why, is there some enemy here in the Vaikuntha of the Lord? No one's an enemy. Why are you so concerned about us? Who can be here who's an enemy? They gave so many reasons why. You're not, maybe you're not even residents of Vaikuntha. Maybe you're, hiding your real true selves, and maybe you are Asura somehow or other, you came in here. Anyway, they talk like that. So Lord Brahma, he was telling the story and how the Kumaras were cursed, Kumaras cursed them, and Jaya Vijaya were cursed. The Lord himself came there and spoke with the Kumaras and apologized. I am the master, they are my servants, so I have to take them. He apologized. And so the Kumaras were feeling actually very embarrassed for cursing Jaya Vijaya. But nevertheless, the Lord said, actually, it is my arrangement because I wanted to do some leela. And not only that, but previously, they had offended Lakshmi Devi. Because one time Lakshmi Devi wanted to see me and I was resting, and when she came to this particular gate, they wouldn't let her in. Because they said that, your husband now is resting, so better you don't go in. So Jai Vijay. So she became upset with him. So they had to get some reaction for that. So there are many reasons. And also, I wanted to do some Leela. And Prabhupada explains that Krishna, the Lord, has within him all qualities. And he likes to fight. So in the Vaikuntha, in the Krishna, who's to fight with? Everyone's a devotee. So therefore, he comes to the world and he does some fighting. So it's like young boys, maybe young girls, I don't know. But young boys, especially, they like to wrestle. They like to fight, have the competition. Like to throw one down, like the other one throws the other one down. So Krishna, that's coming from Krishna, from God. But Krishna likes to do it. So therefore, who can he fight with? He has to fight with the devotee. But he has to create a situation that they become asura. But they forget everything. So the yoga maya is there. So Lord Brahma explained all these things. And the material world is just a fitting place for this type of thing. Because Prabhupada explains here, the material world is full of cares and anxieties and sufferings. Of course, there's some pleasure, but it's like the sand in the sweet rice. There's some sweet rice, but then there's some sand in it. I remember many years ago, we went on a picnic, some devotees, and Korma had made a picnic lunch, but he made some sweet rice. But that day was a very windy day, and just as he was about to serve the sweet rice, the wind blew and blew the sand in the sweet rice. And then, he made so much nice sweet rice. He goes, maybe I can salvage, I can push. I can see that the sand is mainly here. If I just push like that, maybe this side, this looks all right. But when he served it, when you ate, crunch, crunch, crunch. A ruin. Sand is so fine, you can't separate it out from the sweet rice. It's impossible. Impossible. It's so fine, it just goes everywhere. You can't say, this is it here, and we'll just move it over there, and we'll just have the rest. The material world is like that. You can't separate. The suffering, pain must be there, in with the pleasure. Not real pleasure, but so-called pleasure. It must be in there. You can't separate. So it's full of the cares, the suffering. Here it is mentioned, Prabhupada says there, especially Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. What is that? Janma, what is the birth? There's the suffering, and Mrityu, death, and Jara, old age, and Vyadi, diseases. Who can avoid diseases? Who can avoid the old age? Of course, everyone would like to stay young forever, and they buy the creams and they take the injections and they try to smear the years away or something like that. But nothing works. It must. So Jara is old age, is suffering, disease, and death, of course, and the birth is... and of course, then you've got the Adi Daivik, Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, you know, the weather, wild weather, too hot, too cold, wind, storm, so many things like that. And then trouble from other living entities, trouble with your own mind. So where is in the material world you can find a nice place? But actually, we are looking for the nice place. We are looking for the Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha. That kunta means anxiety, but the Vaikuntha means no anxiety. That place, no anxiety. There are no cares, no anxieties. Very blissful. That is our natural place. We are looking in this world, but it is not here. We have to look in the spiritual. So Prabhupada comments like that in his purports. And Lord Brahma, very kindly, he explains the reason that there is a darkness and how the Lord will descend. And so the demigods, and he said that for now, you just remain patient until the Lord appears. So the demigods, even in the darkness, they went back to their own abodes and just were patiently waiting until the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll read this verse again. Satvam viratspa sambumams tamasa lupta karmanam arabra dayadrishya apanam ahashikshitum. Demigods prayed to Brahma, please look upon us mercifully, for we have fallen into a miserable condition because of the darkness. All our work has been suspended. Any comments or questions? Yes, Bhakti. Yes, that is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That in this in the dark age of Kali, the darkness is spreading. It's like Kali Yuga. Not like Satya Yuga, the golden age. Materialism become more and more. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Prabhupada told us this, that there will be the 10,000. This is mentioned in many different shastras. But it's accepted that from the advent of Lord Chaitanya some 500 years ago, there's a section of the Kali Yuga that will be like a light age for those who take advantage and shelter of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Yeah, we're very lucky. Namo Mahavananyaya. He is the most magnanimous. He is freely bestowing what no other incarnation has ever bestowed, Krishna Prem. Now, what is our qualification in this age for Krishna Prem? We don't have any qualification. Krishna Prem. But Lord Chaitanya is freely bestowing Krishna Prem, highest position, to the most unqualified people. Like Prabhupada, he is representing on the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and he's distributing Harinam and love of God everywhere, just like in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. So, therefore, it is predicted that because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, those who take advantage and shelter of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and come together and chant Jai Satchinandan, Jai Satchinandan, just like the one prediction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And there were three predictions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, in the future, someone will travel all over the world and teach about Krishna consciousness. And that same personality will spread the Harinam everywhere all over the world. And in the future, all the people of the world will come back to Sridhar Mayapur and will chant along with their Bengali brothers, Jai Satchinandan, Jai Satchinandan, Jai Satchinandan, Gaura Hari. This is a prediction. So, who is that one who filled that prediction? Srila Prabhupada ki. So we're very lucky now, is the golden age. So if one comes under the umbrella, in that it's said that the Kali Yuga is like a rain, but look, we've now got umbrella. If someone comes underneath the umbrella of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then this will go for the 10,000 years. After that, then the normal Kali Yuga. So this is the prediction mentioned in different shastras and so on. Age of Light. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.